Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome back to our studios the one and only, the talented and the very lovely Amy Turner. Welcome back, Amy.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Amy is, of course, with the Ocean State Theater, and their next production coming down the line is The Miracle Worker, going to be a very interesting play, and the star of the show is here with us today. Amy, I'll let you introduce Laurel. Tell us a little bit about her as you introduce her.
Well, today I have brought the star of The Miracle Worker, although not the title character. Laurel is going to play Helen Keller in our production, and it's not her first time on the Ocean State Theater Company stage. I'll let her tell you about that, but we are so excited. I will tell you, as the artistic director, when you pick a show like The Miracle Worker that has such a challenging role for a very young child, you really do just hold your breath and cross your fingers and your toes, and you hold those auditions. And I can say without any hesitation that I was not thinking of Laurel before the audition, but no one else could have played this part the way that she is. She nailed her audition. She blew everyone else away, and the rehearsal process has proven to be just as much fun and also just as exciting for me as the director. So this is Laurel McMahon. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Laurel. Nice to have you with us. And I understand, although you're relatively young in age, you've already been on the Ocean State Theater stage several times, right?
Yes.
What shows have you been in?
I was in Gypsy this past summer. I was in Meet Me in St. Louis in 2014, and I was in Les Mis in 2013.
All right, so a lot of experience already.
Seasoned pro.
You're from Warwick, Rhode Island, correct?
Yes.
So not too far from the theater.
No.
All right, and is it okay to tell the audience how old you are?
Yes, I'm 10.
10. 3 productions at Ocean State Theater and 10. All right.
And I think, what do you say? Is this the most challenging role you've done for us?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. What's so different about it?
Well, since she's blind and deaf, it's hard to picture not being able to see or hear.
Just pretending that.
Yeah.
Because obviously, thank goodness, you can see in here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you practice closing your eyes or something like that? Just see how it feels?
I've done it a few times, just because it is hard when I'm trying to do like fighting scenes. I have to picture not being able to see them, but still do everything that she did.
Now, when you're talking about fighting scenes, you're talking about because you're distraught and don't understand what's going on, and it's not a fight like a sword fight.
Oh, no.
No, it's actually really physical. So, Laurel, explain a little bit how you think, and I think we all feel, that she's feeling, because she's probably around 6 or 7 in real life, and she's been deaf and blind, you know, for approximately 4 years now. So what have we talked about, like what's going on inside of her?
She probably really doesn't understand that she's doing any harm, and she just, like, if she broke something, she would probably have no idea.
Right, that it actually broke because she doesn't see it break.
Yeah.
Or she doesn't understand how to react with other people necessarily.
And time has told us that this is a really intelligent child, and then ultimately a very articulate young woman who had a long life of success. But, you know, could you imagine being sort of like trapped in a world that you can't figure out? And so there's a lot of frustration. She's kind of like a toddler throwing tantrums, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where the physicality comes in.
Right. Let's just get a little, before we go on too much further, let's get a little bit more background from you. I mentioned you're from Warwick. Do you go to school in Warwick?
Yes.
What school?
I go to St. Rose of Lima.
Okay. And what grade?
5th.
fifth grade. Are you married?
No.
No, okay. That's a typical host question to a young person. I just want you to know that. Get used to it. All right.
Born and bred in Rhode Island, though, right?
Yes.
You've always lived in Rhode Island?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Okay. And do you study piano or any instruments or anything like that?
I play recorder.
I'm sorry?
I play recorder.
Recorder, okay. All right.
It's a basic instrument.
Yeah,
yes.
Very, very basic instrument. That's a good start.
But you take singing?
Yes.
And dancing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Singing and dancing lessons.
Yes.
And you still have time to go to school. Do you have any other kind of interest besides theater?
I play soccer.
Oh, okay. So, soccer, dancing, theater, singing,
yeah.
Playing the recorder.
I know. And then she manages to show up to rehearsal, rehearsed. So, you know, I don't know. Kids are amazing. And this one particularly.
We'll get back to a little more about you in a few moments. I want to get to some music. And Amy, what kind of music are we going to play today? Because this is your production is a play. There is no music in the show, right?
That's correct. It is actually, we're doing the original William Gibson version, which he adapted for the film. So regardless of whether people familiar with this on the stage or on the screen, it will be a familiar script to them. But actually our managing director, Robert Miller, when we were talking about music, he said, well, do you think that I could find any deaf or blind musicians? And I said, well, that's kind of an amazing challenge. Go for it. So I'm going to give him full credit for finding the music that we're going to play today. And I think it's so perfect because what I hope one of the messages that this play tells us is that people are capable of so much more so often than what we expect from them. And so to think about someone who can't see at all or even more miraculously can't hear, composing and performing music. So all of the selections today will be by someone who is either visually or hearing impaired.
All right. What a better way to start off than with the iconic Ray Charles.
Now let me tell you people about this blackjack game. It's caused me nothing but trouble, and I've only myself to blame. Hey, 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 yeah. How unlucky can one man be? Well, every quarter I get. Come around me because I've been so blind. I can't even borrow a nickel. Now I've almost lost my mind. Hey, 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 yeah. How unlucky can one man be? Said there were two tins. I thought I'd have some fun. The dealer hit 16 with a 5, just enough to make 21. Hey, 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 yeah, yeah. How unlucky can one man be? Quarter I get. Yeah, blackjack takes it away from me.
That piece was titled Blackjack, and of course, Ray Charles, Grammy award-winning blind musician. And now, Amy, we go to the back to the show, if you will, back to the Miracle Worker, which opens this coming Wednesday for previews, March 30th, previews Wednesdays and Thursday, and then the big opening on Friday night, and runs through April 17th. So other people in the cast.
Absolutely. The Miracle Worker, which is Helen's teacher, Annie Sullivan, is played by Brittany Rolfs. She's new to our stage. We're very excited to discover her. For folks that are familiar with the Wheelock Family Theater, perhaps, she's done a lot of work with them. She's a Boston-based actress. She's a fighter, too, right?
Yes.
The two of you get into a tussle, huh?
Yes.
How's it been working with her?
It's been great. She's very nice.
She is very nice. They have the most physicality between the two of them. And then, both Laurel and I co-starred in Gypsy with Kristen Wetherington, who plays Laurel's mother, Kate Keller. And folks will remember Kevin B. McGlynn. He was also in Les Mis as Javert. And then he was Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls. And now he's playing the captain, which is Helen's father.
Okay.
There's other children in the play and other characters, but you know, it could go on and on. But those will be three great people and have a lot of interaction with Helen, obviously, as her parents and her teacher.
Now, some of your plays in the past, shows like Race or others that have been productions of sometimes very small casts, four people, three people sometimes. The one last summer with the baseball routine was just two. So, how many in this cast?
There's a total of 10.
Wow.
Yeah, three of them are children. There's also an aunt, and there's a doctor and a servant in the house. It adds up pretty quick. But the majority of the attention, I would say, is paid to the interactions between Helen and Annie. But there's some backstory of how Helen became deaf and blind and how her family sort of dealt with her both before and after her illness when she was a toddler. And also there's some backstory of Annie. She came through an orphanage and also through Perkins School for the Blind. And this was actually her first appointment as a teacher, tutor, at 20 years old, right? She's 20 in the script. So it's kind of, we call it, what have we said? It's kind of like the perfect storm, that it's this child with this teacher, with this family. I mean, it is, if it weren't true, you wouldn't believe it, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And Laurel, where does this take place? Is it around here? Is it New England or somewhere?
Alabama.
Alabama. Okay. So I'm not familiar with the story, so I can't wait to see it. All right. So we'll be traveling to Alabama. All right. I'll ask you a few more questions about the show in a moment. Let's get to another piece of music. And Amy, you mentioned that Bob Miller provided all this for us. This next one is called Smile. It's by a deaf jazz musician who lost his hearing completely in college. And the name is Mandy Harvey. Let's listen to that.
Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile through your fear and sorrow, smile and maybe tomorrow, you'll see the sun come shining through. With gladness, hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile, what's the use of crying? You'll see that life is still worthwhile. You just smile. Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by. If you smile sadness, although a tear may be ever so near. That's a time you must keep on trying. Small, what's the use of crying? You'll see that life is so worthwhile if you just smile, just smile, just smile.
Amy, we're going to ask Laurel some questions, and I think it's only right if we ask you some tough questions. Don't you agree, Laurel? Well, let's ask Amy a tough question. All right?
Okay.
All right. Here's a trivia question for Amy.
Uh-oh.
Do you know who wrote that last song, Smile?
Oh, man. No.
He was famous for a cane and a
Charlie
bowler.
Charlie Chaplin?
Yeah, right.
Oh.
There you go. Same. There you go. You got it right off the bat. That's very good. Yeah, Charlie Chaplin, which was a very, very old, 100 years ago comedian in the silent movies, long before your time. Now, let's get to some of the questions that you wanted to ask Laurel about the show.
Okay.
All right.
Well, what would you tell the audience? What to you is the most interesting or intriguing thing about Helen specifically?
I think it's probably how she learned to communicate with Anne through sign language. And it's hard for us to communicate when we can see and hear, but for her, she can't see or hear, and she still learned to communicate with her and with the world around her. I think that is very cool.
And do you think that you have a little bit of an understanding of how she managed to teach her?
Yes. She would, like, spell the letters, and then Helen would have to feel it and figure out the way her fingers were shaped. And then she had to learn what the words meant and what they were.
And so if you had to, like, write a school paper or something, what do you think? What do you think that this play is really about? Like, what do you hope the audience takes away from it at the end of the show?
That they they really shouldn't give up on her, because she was, if Anne hadn't come, they would have given up, but since she came, she became a lot smarter and learned to communicate and talk with everybody in her family.
Yeah, that's what I think too, that one of the lessons in this is that not giving up. There's a line in the play where the mother, Kate, asks Annie, you know, how many times are you going to do this? And she says, well, how many times did you talk baby talk to a baby? And a mother just never counts. They just do it. So maybe it's a million. Right. And so she says, well, how long is it going to take you to teach Helen then? And she says, maybe a million and one. Like, in other words, that's, I think, the gift, the miracle, if you will, is that Annie just never, ever, ever gave up. And she just kept at it. And so I think there's a, you know, simplistically, that stick-to-itiveness. And it's amazing the process with which she figured out how to teach this child. The ramifications of that are still felt now, today. It's kind of amazing. It's in 1880s is when this play takes place, when this factual thing happened. And here we are, what, almost 140 years later, and we're still approaching the way that we, our expectations of people with disabilities, and also the way in which we go about them. So it's kind of, it really is a miracle. It's just a crazy true story, and anyone that has a relationship with someone of any disability of any kind, particularly a parent or a child, that the way that we teach in every aspect is affected by this little moment between these two people. So
amazing. We're going to get to one more piece of music before we take our first break. This is Sitting on Top of the World, very popular song, and it's by a blind bluegrass folk musician, Grammy Award winner Doc Watson. We'll listen to that and take a break and be back with more of Laurel and Amy.
In the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me. Lord, she went away, and now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. She called me up from down in El Paso. Said, come back, Daddy, ooh, I need you so. And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. Don't like my peaches, don't you shake my tree. And get out of my orchard, let my peaches be. And now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. And don't you come here running, holding out your hand. I'm gonna get me a woman like you got your man. But now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world. It was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me. Lord, she went away, and now she's gone, and I don't worry. Lord, I'm sitting on top of the world.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maynard. We are sitting with Amy Turner and Laurel McMahon, who is starring in The Miracle Worker at the Ocean State Theater on Jefferson Boulevard in Warwick. And that opens on Wednesday and Thursday for previews, and then Friday night, the big opening. And then next Sunday, a week from today, we'll have the opportunity to have the talk back with the audience after the production, where, Laurel, I'll get to sit with you on stage, and we can have the audience ask us questions. And that'll be fun. Amy, let's give a little bit of ticket information out at this point in time.
Yeah, so as always, I send people to our website first, oceanstatetheater.org, O-R-G. You get all kinds of information about pricing and seating, but also about all the other things that are happening, concerts and other shows going on. But feel free to call the box office, 401-921-6800, 6800. The box office opens every day at noon. Or, of course, come by and see us and talk to the box office in person, like you said, on Jefferson Boulevard, just down by the Greenwood End. We'd be happy to talk you through any of your questions, either, you know, no matter whether it's for The Miracle Worker or other shows.
We'll talk a little bit later in the program. There's lots of things happening at the theater. We'll go over some of those other shows that are coming in, as well as the next musical production, Anything Goes, and the dates and times for that. But right now, let's get back to The Miracle Worker. And one of the things that's always interesting to me about young people in theater, Amy, is what causes them to have an interest like this? I think you mentioned something like that off air during the commercial break, right?
Yeah. What caused you to have an interest in this theater in theater in general?
Well, my sisters always loved doing theater, and I went to see their shows, and then I decided that I wanted to do it like they did, and I realized that I liked it a lot.
That's great. All right. Do you have any ambitions to continue through as the rest of your schooling, through junior high school and high school and then into college?
Yes, I definitely want to do it in high school and middle school for sure.
I did it in middle school and high school, and look at me.
You could be the next Mike Maino.
There you go. You could have your own radio show. All right. We ran a little bit long in that first segment, so I'm going to get to another piece of music right off here, and then we'll talk some more. This one is Maple Leaf Rag, and it's done by a deaf percussionist from Scotland, Scottish deaf percussionist, Evelyn Glennie, and deaf since age 12. Segment I mentioned a lot of things happening at the theater. The big production coming up after The Miracle Worker is Anything Goes, which is going to run April 27th to May 22nd. And that's a Cole Porter musical comedy, and it's crazy, crazy, crazy musical.
I heard somebody, or I guess I read it, that they were listing all the revivals. Like, it's been in like three movies. It's been on Broadway like four times. It's one of the hottest regional theater productions. It's, you know, it's been rewritten. And basically, the long and the short of it is then they said, you know, what's its appeal, right? Why does it keep popping up? And they were like, because it's just like the most ridiculous show. It's about absolutely nothing. It makes no sense whatsoever. It just is
fun.
It is just fun, and it has crazy characters and big dance numbers. So, you know, I think it's such, I'm excited to end our season with just a big old musical that's just nothing but fun.
All right, that's great. And a couple other things besides that we want to mention.
Yeah, we still have two more productions of our Family Fun Fest. On April 9th is Lollipops for Breakfast, a wonderful physical artist coming in. She did a show last year and was a smash, smash, smash hit. And then on May 7th, Lucky Bob, again, backed by popular demand. Lucky Bob will return on May 7th. And I always like to remind folks that it's a $10 ticket for everybody. It's a wonderful family experience. Bring the little ones, bring grandma. You know, it's just a great way to introduce kids to the theater, and economical as well. And then if we haven't mentioned it before, so excited that Betty Buckley is doing a Rhode Island concert at our theater on April 6th. Those tickets are still selling very quickly. There are tickets left, but I'm quite certain by the time we get to April 6th, it'll be a sellout.
Right. So just a week and a half away. So get those tickets for Betty Buckley. And that's going to be a great show, too. Lots of things happening in the theater. You got to go to the website, oceanstatetheater.org, and check out all the events that are there. You've already announced next year's season, the summer season. We'll talk about that when we come back. Well, let's get one more piece of music in before we take this next commercial break. This one is Big River, Muddy Water, the 2003 musical on Broadway revival. And it was done by a theater group called Deaf West Theater, featuring deaf and hearing actors. We'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more.
Look for me, you see me. I may be running out of door. I may be tired and running fever, but I'm be heading south of the Ohio. So look out for me, oh my God. Your mysteries I keep them by. And I gotta need to go someplace. And I gotta need to climb up on your back and ride. Well, I've been down to the pain and sorrow of no tomorrow's coming in. But I put my pole to the river bottom, and I gotta hide some place to find myself again. So look out for me, oh my wife. Your mysteries at the fair wide. And I gotta leave for go someplace. And I gotta need time upon your back and ride. Look out for me,
look out for me.
Oh mighty water,
oh, mighty water.
Your mysteries at the fair wide. And I gotta need for going someplace.
Go someplace.
And I gotta need to climb upon your back and ride. Look out for me, oh mighty water.
Your mysteries are deep and wide.
And I gotta need for going someplace. And I gotta need to climb up on your back and ride.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We are sitting with the star of The Miracle Worker coming to the Ocean State Theater. And Laurel McMahon is here along with Amy Turner, who is the artistic director and the director of this production. Right, Amy, you are directing today?
Yes, that's all correct.
All correct. And what would you say? Is this how many times between, since you've been in Rhode Island, let's put it that way, how many programs or shows have you directed? Four, five,
oh, gosh.
Six?
Since Rhode Island. Well, probably two times six, 12, and then 18. Probably somewhere in the ballpark of about 25 to 30.
That you've directed?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that many.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. And I'll tell you, it is, I was just having a conversation with someone who also directs and was just saying that, you know, I feel that I come in prepared and I'm good at figuring out what is going to be challenging about whatever play it is that I'm approaching. But I think one of the things I love about it is every single play surprises me.
Right.
A few days into rehearsal, I say, wow, I underestimated that, or I let that slip, you know, and it's kind of the miracle of theater, that lightning in a bottle that, and I think it's really, you have to prepare yourself to allow the unexpected to happen, knowing that it will. And sometimes that's really fortuitous and something amazing. And sometimes it's something very, very challenging and
sure.
difficult
mm-hmm.
to overcome. Either way, it does happen. And that's sort of, after all this time, what I've sort of learned. And this play is no exception.
Now, you've been here for all of those shows. I just lost track. I had no idea it was that many. So that's amazing. Laura, let's get to you and ask you a question about the theater. What's the difference between the work involved in getting this part correct and the fun involved? Do you enjoy both parts of it?
Yes. When we're working, I have to stay focused and make sure I'm working hard and not fooling around. But then when I get the time to have fun, it is very fun.
It's a lot of fun, and you enjoy reacting and acting with your fellow actors on the stage?
Yes.
Yeah, they're all good people, right?
Yes.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a good thing that it works out that way.
And I knew that this was going to have a lot of physicality in it, and so did Laurel. We talked about that at the audition and everything, but it really is almost like a musical in the sense that the lines and the physicality, whether it's something truly physical, like stopping a tantrum where Brittany, the actress playing Annie, like pins her down, mm-hmm. that's something that has to be choreographed and rehearsed and very explicit, or even just, you know, as she's feeling her way around the breakfast table in one scene, she eats off of everybody else's plate because nobody is really disciplining her. And it has to time out with their lines. And so we do that over and over. How many times do you think we do all of that?
Like 15 times.
Mm-hmm. Over and over and over again, right?
Yes.
Well, I wish it was wrong with eating other people's plates. I do that all the time. All right, let's get to another piece of music. And this one is by a very famous person and Puerto Rican. Blind guitarist Jose Feliciano, and another iconic song called Light My Fire.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire. Hesitation's through. There's no time to wallow in the mire. Darling, we could only lose, and our love become a funeral pyre. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
Jose Feliciano. Now, Amy, I found out something a few years ago when Joel Kipper was here. We were talking about different things that are involved with theater between, usually when you have a musical, you have a live orchestra and you have dancers and you have singers, obviously, and you have lighting people and sound people and lots of things involved with the theater. One of the things I missed along the way was the fact that Joel, one of his specialties is fighting.
that's a loaded question. He's really good at fighting. No, I'm kidding. Yes, he had really positive fight training in as part of his degree program in college. And the gentleman who taught his fighting is actually a good friend of the theater's. He's also a set designer who's been with us. Actually, will be the set designer for Anything Goes. Bert will be back for that. So he's sort of our on-call specialist, if you will. But yeah, it really started with Crazy for You. If anybody remembers, there's a big bar fight and it's very specialized and everything. But for us, under any circumstances, professional theater, it's very important that you're safe and that you really know what you're doing. Clearly, that is amplified when you have children involved. So you might want to ask Laurel about her special rehearsal that we had before we even met the cast or anything.
So you had fight training?
Yes. A few days before our first rehearsal, he taught me a few ways to fall so that when we were doing it during rehearsals and shows, I would be safe when I did it. And he taught me how to pull people's hair or punch them so they wouldn't get injured, and it was very helpful.
And what do you get to do to your daddy in the show that he taught you?
I have to kick him in the knee.
Yeah.
You have to kick him, all right. So that hopefully that works out so that he doesn't get hurt every time you do it, right? Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm trying to remember, he had five things he wanted to teach you. He wanted to teach you how to fall, how to kick, how to punch. Didn't you punch him in the stomach?
Yes.
But all safely. But the difference between some things you do, you pretend to contact, but some things you actually contact, right?
Yes.
And what was the last thing he said to you as you were going to your car to get picked up by your mom?
Not to show anybody at home and not try to teach them how to do it.
There you go. It's like being a magician. You have secrets in the theater and you have secrets as a magician. Now you've learned some fight secrets, so that's great. And Laurel, I want to thank you for coming in today and taking time out of your very busy schedule and preparing for this show that opens on Wednesday. And just a few days away. Are you getting excited?
Yes, I'm very excited.
Well, I hope you enjoy your experience. I'm sure you will be great. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. Amy, I just want to take a moment to review some of the things coming in and one more time with phone number and box office information, things like that.
Sure. Obviously, go to our website, oceanstatetheater.org, or if you're on Facebook all the time, like our page, you'll get updates on everything that's happening. As you just said, Miracle Worker opens. We're going to close our season with Anything Goes. We have Betty Buckley coming in, our Family Fun Fest, so you can get all of that information on the website, or feel free to call. Our box office opens every day at noon, 401-921-6800. Or stop on by, do it the old-fashioned way, and drive down Jefferson Boulevard right between exit 12 and 13 off 95 and say hi to Tom and Kayla in the box office.
That would be a great thing to do, and if you mention my name, you might even get nothing.
A smile.
Okay. A smile. You know, we did kind of tease them a little bit. I did mention that you've already announced your summer events, so why don't we just tell the audience what those are going to be.
Oh, great. We're calling it our devilishly fun summer because we're going to play in July, from July 6th through the 24th, the Tony Award-winning classic musical, Damn Yankees. Mm. Anyone who might not know the show, it is about an avid baseball fan who wants to do anything to make sure those damn Yankees don't get into the playoffs, sells his soul to the devil, and hilarity ensues. Then we will be pairing that with another Tony Award winner, actually won the Tony Award for Best Musical the year that it was up against Wicked. That will be running August 3rd through the 21st, of also a musical, very funny show, Avenue Q. And I rarely say this, but you do have to accept that Avenue Q has a heart of gold wrapped up in a mature package with adult humor and language and full puppet nudity.
Full puppet nudity. All right.
Full puppet nudity. So that you have to accept.
And you have to, and you better be laughing. All right. It was a show that I recommended to you years and years ago. I'm glad it finally came around. I can't wait to see the production. We're going to go out with one piece of music that is a little bit more normal on our radio waves. We're going to go out with some Beethoven, and it's one of those things where it's the last, this is the piece that we're going to do, is his last finished composition, and it was completed when his hearing was figured to be completely gone, as a matter of fact. So we will listen to a string quartet in F, and this is Opus 135. Amy, thanks for being here.
You are very welcome. Such a pleasure.
Best of everything to you, Laurel. And you got to remember that you did the show. When you're very famous, you'll have to come back and do it again, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks for being here. For the rest of you, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.